When Damon John found himself down to his last dime, with his back against the wall and nowhere to go but up, something magical happened. The founder of FUBU, who would later become known as the People's Shark on ABC's hit show Shark Tank, discovered that being broke wasn't a disadvantage, it was his secret weapon. This revelation would eventually help him build a $6 billion clothing empire from his mother's basement in Hollis, Queens. The power of broke isn't just another rags-to-riches tale. It's a manifesto for entrepreneurs everywhere who believe they need money to start a business. The book has become required reading in business schools across America and has influenced a generation of entrepreneurs, including tech billionaires and social media moguls who cite it as their entrepreneurial Bible. Even former President Barack Obama took notice, appointing John as a presidential ambassador for global entrepreneurship. What makes this concept so powerful? It's the counterintuitive idea that having limited resources forces you to be more creative, authentic, and resourceful than competitors with deep pockets. When you're broke, you have no choice but to hustle harder and think differently. And that's precisely where innovation thrives. Being broke creates a hunger that money can't buy. It's the desperation that forces you to be aggressive, creative, and resourceful, qualities that often disappear once success arrives. Think about Rocky Balboa in the iconic film series. He was at his best when he had nothing, running those Philadelphia steps and training in meat lockers with pure determination. But once he became champion, with endorsement deals and luxuries, he lost his edge and got beaten by Clubber Lang. This pattern plays out repeatedly in business. When you want it, when you need it, you find ways to succeed. But when you expect success or feel entitled to it, you're headed for failure. That's why innovation typically happens from the bottom up, not the top down. The most creative and successful innovations, from breakdancing and rap music to iPods and electric cars, emerge organically from authentic need rather than corporate boardrooms. Consider the new Coke disaster of 1985, where a company with endless resources failed spectacularly by making change for change's sake rather than responding to actual customer demand. In today's digital age, transparency and authenticity are essential. What succeeds is what's real, not what's expensive. The power has shifted to the people, and throwing money at problems won't work if your idea lacks genuine substance. This hunger-driven innovation explains why the demographics of wealth are shifting. In 1982, 60% of the Forbes 400 came from wealthy families. 30 years later, only 32% did. That means 68% of today's wealthiest people started with nothing. When you grow up disadvantaged, you're used to hearing no constantly, making you resilient and hungry for every yes that comes your way. Steve Aoki, the electro house DJ who revolutionized techno music, demonstrates how resourcefulness emerges from necessity. Despite being the son of Rocky Aoki, founder of the Benihana restaurant chain, Steve faced his own struggles. His father made it clear his children would need to work for success just as he had. At 19, Steve started Dim Mock Records with two friends, each contributing $400, everything they had. Their early operations were pure hustle, stealing copies from Kinko's to promote their music, selling 7-inch records from car trunks, and reinvesting every penny they made. They organized shows in apartments and small bars, scraping by just to keep their passion alive. When Steve signed Block Party, Dim Mock finally showed business potential, but he had to max out 10 credit cards, accumulating over $90,000 in debt. He ran everything from a cramped 900-square-foot New York apartment shared with his girlfriend and 13 unpaid interns. Despite his father's wealth, Steve refused to ask for help, knowing Rocky Aoki wouldn't support his music venture. This financial desperation forced Steve to be resourceful and authentic, creating what he calls a beautiful mess, the chaos that true entrepreneurs need to survive. Without realizing it, he'd built a movement where the Dim Mock name became a stamp of quality and hipster approval, all through sweat and hustle rather than financial backing. I would have squandered it, Steve admits when asked what would have happened if his father had bankrolled him with $100,000. You have to want it, but it cuts deeper than that. You have to need it, like a hunger. This hunger requires getting knocked down and finding the strength to get back up. The beautiful mess of maxed-out credit cards, uncertain finances, and betting big on yourself creates the kind of authentic chaos entrepreneurs need to thrive. I would have squandered it, Steve admits when asked what would have happened if his father had bankrolled him with $100,000. You have to want it, but it cuts deeper than that. You have to need it, like a hunger. This hunger requires getting knocked down and finding the strength to get back up. The beautiful mess of maxed-out credit cards, uncertain finances, and betting big on yourself creates the kind of authentic chaos entrepreneurs need to thrive. The power of broke is a great equalizer that levels the playing field, giving advantage to hustle and heart over money and market forces. When you're broke, you're forced to dig deep, invest in yourself, and let your authentic personality shine through. For Damon John, hip-hop functioned as a disruptive technology, a unifying force and change agent set to a beat. The marriage of hip-hop with music videos created a powerful marketing channel that let FUBU place their products on artists like LL Cool J, essentially getting a multi-million-dollar ad campaign for free. Similarly, Acacia Brinley found her own disruptive technology in social media. Growing up in Orange County, California, Acacia was severely bullied for not having the right designer clothes. Without friends or extracurricular activities, she felt invisible at school. She turned to Tumblr, a safe haven for creative, introspective, and often outcast young people, not to reinvent herself, but to rediscover her authentic self at a time when her self-esteem was at its lowest. As her social media following grew, she faced the inevitable backlash that comes with online visibility. Despite being only 13, she showed remarkable wisdom by recognizing that her haters were bullying me just based on my appearance and were just taking me down to feel better about themselves. Unlike Damon, who confronted his neighborhood critics directly, Acacia took the high road and ignored the negativity, continuing to post authentic content. This approach, staying true to herself despite thousands of cruel comments, ultimately strengthened her brand. She discovered power in authenticity, presenting herself as this relatable, regular teenage girl without designer labels, focusing instead on her personality and unique style choices that resonated with her audience. Acacia never set out to monetize her social media presence. It wasn't until she reached 15,000 Instagram followers that companies began sending her free clothing to feature in her posts. When her authentic endorsements drove sales spikes, more brands followed. With her mother helping manage her growing career, Acacia understood her core value was her genuine connection with followers. As she puts it, what folks are buying with Acacia is Acacia herself, and she's not for sale. Rob Dyrdek, one of skateboarding's most influential figures who built a multimedia platform and multi-million-dollar brand, began his journey at 11 years old in Ohio. Unlike most kids who picked up skateboarding for fun, Rob approached it with extraordinary determination from the start. After just months of skateboarding, Rob wanted to enter a contest where pros would be competing but couldn't afford the entrance fee. Rather than giving up, the resourceful 11-year-old proposed to organizers, "If I can get 10 people to sign up, would you let me in for free?" The surprised organizers agreed, not expecting him to follow through. Rob recruited the 10 entrants, got his free entry, and immediately impressed the judges and pros with his fearless style. Rob's relentless drive was evident from childhood. "When I put my mind to something, I'm thinking I'm gonna be the best. Don't know where it comes from in me, but that's me." His initial goal was simply to ride like a champion, which came naturally to him as the skateboard felt like an extension of his body. However, his second goal proved more challenging, finding a way to make a living from skateboarding when there was no clear path to financial stability in the sport. While sponsorship deals offered free merchandise and gear, they didn't provide a steady paycheck. Rob began experimenting with different business models, his objective clear, but the path forward uncertain. His business approach was unconventional, a self-described gunslinger who didn't meet a banker until years into his career. His philosophy, when you grow up with nothing, it's like you've got nothing to lose, so there's this thing in me that tends to roll the dice. This mindset drove his success in skateboarding, television, and business ventures. Rob credits his failures as blessings that taught him valuable lessons. His early understanding of brand integration proved crucial. After talking with friends like Bam Margera about merchandising success through TV exposure, Rob renegotiated his licensing deals for super high royalties and way low minimums before launching on MTV. His show Rob and Big exploded in popularity, leading to Rob Dyrdek's Fantasy Factory and eventually Ridiculousness. With each venture, he maintained his philosophy of caring less about upfront fees and more about ownership. This approach helped him build an empire spanning competitions, shoes, skateboard manufacturing, and more, all without finishing high school. Christopher Gray earned the nickname the Million Dollar Scholar by securing over $1.3 million in scholarships despite growing up with limited resources in Birmingham, Alabama. Unable to afford college application fees and without home internet access, Chris maximized his limited library computer time by applying to every scholarship he could find. His first win was a $20,000 Horatio Alger National Scholarship, followed by hundreds more, including two full-ride scholarships. With his AP Literature teacher's mentorship, Chris crafted personal essays drawing from classic literature that reflected on his circumstances. His scholarship success led him to Drexel University, where he began coaching fellow students on finding scholarships, eventually creating the Sholly app with two classmates to streamline the scholarship search process. When operating with limited resources, Chris found creative ways to maximize efficiency, writing reusable essays he could adapt for different applications. Despite strong academics, he faced barriers applying to top colleges due to application fees and difficulty securing fee waivers in Alabama, where counselors often steered students toward state schools. After winning $1.3 million in scholarships, Chris worried he was receiving too many blessings. He discovered that excess scholarship money could fund graduate studies and felt obligated to share his knowledge. At Drexel, he began coaching fellow students but found one-on-one advising time-consuming. This led him to create Sholly with two classmates, an app where users enter 8 key criteria: state, gender, race, GPA, year, major, merit/need preference, and miscellaneous factors to receive targeted scholarship matches. When Chris pitched Sholly on Shark Tank, the app had already been downloaded 92,000 times at 99 cents each. Seeking $40,000 for a 15% stake, his presentation impressed the Sharks with its worthwhile objective and his position as first to market. Lori immediately offered to meet his asking price without further questions, and Damon joined her. Since then, Sholly has flourished, securing a contract with Memphis City Council to provide the app to 10,000 high school seniors and discussing similar deals with state governments. Having too much money too soon can be a business killer. When entrepreneurs get overfunded early, they make bigger mistakes at a time when they can't afford any. Taking on investors means giving away pieces of your company and creating pressure to grow faster than you might be ready for. Damon learned this lesson watching the contrast between hedge fund managers and Carlos, a mailroom messenger at his high school job. While wealthy traders stressed constantly, Carlos found joy in simple pleasures, saving his $2 delivery allowance to buy hot dogs while saying, "Today I eat like a king." His strategic saving eventually funded his retirement home in Puerto Rico. This wisdom applies broadly. 60% of NBA players go broke within 5 years of retirement. 78% of NFL players face financial distress within 2 years, and about 70% of lottery winners end up bankrupt. When starting a business, organic growth is smarter than immediate large investments that can lead you to make decisions based on available cash rather than sound business principles. Consider a hypothetical cupcake business based on your grandmother's amazing recipe. With too much money up front, you might lease an expensive storefront in a trendy neighborhood, hire designers for custom furniture, purchase state-of-the-art equipment, and hire premium staff, all before selling a single cupcake. This approach puts enormous pressure on the business before you've even validated that customers will buy your product. When your business fails because you overfunded it from the start, you're left with a Frankenstein business you can't unload or turn around. If you've taken on investors, you're in an even worse position, selling off more of your stake just to keep things afloat. The alternative? Bootstrapping, or better yet, colossal bootstrapping. Starting small allows you to make the same mistakes at the $5,000 level that you might make at the $100,000 level, but without the devastating financial consequences. You can learn from these mistakes rather than being swallowed by them. Facebook stands as the ultimate example of successful bootstrapping. Mark Zuckerberg didn't rush for financing before proving his concept. He started small at Harvard, expanded to other Boston colleges, then Ivy League schools, and eventually worldwide. Each step was incremental, allowing him to refine what worked and fix what didn't. Gigi Butler started her cupcake empire with just $33 to her name, a true power of broke success story. Her journey began with a different dream, becoming a country music star. By college, she shocked her parents by taking her tuition money to make a demo and pursue that dream in Nashville. While pursuing music, she cleaned houses and waited tables at Red Lobster, unknowingly getting a business education by working within a national chain structure. Despite singing at popular Nashville venues, her big break in music never materialized. By 30, she expanded her cleaning business, building it into a successful company with 5 employees, each cleaning multiple houses daily. When her brother called from New York suggesting she open a cupcake shop in Nashville because her cupcakes were better than the trendy ones he'd waited hours for, Gigi had her moment of clarity. Despite banks laughing at her business plan, she maxed out credit cards for $100,000 to launch Gigi's Cupcakes. The day before Gigi's Cupcakes was set to open, she had just $33 in her checking account, with $4,500 in rent due, $1,000 in supplies to buy, and $1,000 in staff salaries to pay. Her parents came from California to help, but when her plumber needed payment and her contractor surprised her with a $15,000 drywall bill, she melted onto the floor. In this moment of crisis, her mother reminded her, "God will take care of you," giving her strength to continue. Opening day exceeded all expectations, with lines around the block and news crews capturing the excitement. Within a week, she paid the plumber, made rent, started paying down credit cards, and even banked $300. For months, she maintained a grueling schedule, baking at 4 a.m., working the morning rush, cleaning houses midday, returning for the afternoon shift, then handling paperwork at night. Within 3 months, she'd paid off the contractor, added staff, made significant progress on her credit card debt, and saved $26,000 toward opening a second location. 6 years later, Gigi's Cupcakes had grown to nearly 100 stores across 24 states with $35 million in annual sales. Her success comes from perfect recipes, fresh ingredients, and her bone-deep appreciation for the value of money. "I know what it is to not have, so I appreciate everything. I don't let anything go to waste." Jay Abraham, now a leading marketing consultant and advisor to Fortune 500 companies, came from humble beginnings in Indianapolis. Married at 18 with 2 children by 20, he faced adult responsibilities with limited resources. His primary assets were his intelligence and drive. But as he discovered, being smart doesn't automatically lead to employment opportunities. His breakthrough skill was seeing value where others didn't, which he developed out of necessity when broke. He found opportunity in the dying 8-track tape business when everyone else was abandoning it. With no capital, he approached a local convenience store chain with a no-risk proposal. He'd stock their shelves with tapes in exchange for 2/3 of each sale. Then he convinced a Midwest distributor who needed Indiana market penetration to send him $200,000 worth of tapes with no upfront cost. Using his garage as a warehouse and a $500 beat-up Chevy station wagon as his delivery truck, he enlisted his brother's help and soon cleared $4,000 weekly, all without investing a dime. This was his first lesson in turning problems into solutions. Jay expanded the concept of OPM beyond other people's money to include other people's manpower, marketing, and mindset. When he bought a small bankrupt company selling arthritis cream, he had to get creative again. With no advertising budget, he offered radio stations and publishers the entire revenue from first sales plus an additional 15% on each jar. Then he convinced a Midwest distributor who needed Indiana market penetration to send him $200,000 worth of tapes with no upfront cost. Using his garage as a warehouse and a $500 beat-up Chevy station wagon as his delivery truck, he enlisted his brother's help and soon cleared $4,000 weekly, all without investing a dime. This was his first lesson in turning problems into solutions. Jay expanded the concept of OPM beyond other people's money to include other people's manpower, marketing, and mindset. When he bought a small bankrupt company selling arthritis cream, he had to get creative again. With no advertising budget, he offered radio stations and publishers the entire revenue from first sales plus an additional 15% on each jar. Though he lost money initially, $3 plus 90 cents on each first sale, he understood lifetime value. 8 out of 10 customers repurchased monthly with no additional giveaways required. That product became Icy Hot, now America's top-selling topical pain reliever. They went from 50 to 100 daily orders to 500,000, eventually selling the brand for $60 million. In the 25 years since his early struggles, Jay has grown the bottom lines of over 10,000 clients across 400-plus industries worldwide. He's known for his risk reversal concept, focusing on lifelong customer relationships and making small changes for maximum results. But he's not all about making money. He's committed to adding value in every interaction. When you align helping others with helping yourself, everything else flows. Kevin Plank's story shows how commitment to a simple idea can create a multi-billion-dollar enterprise. As a University of Maryland football player in the mid-1990s, Kevin was frustrated with the heavy, sweat-soaked cotton t-shirts players wore under their gear. This small problem, the inconvenience of changing soaked shirts during games, sparked the creation of Under Armour, now a $3 billion sports apparel giant that revolutionized athletic wear with lightweight, moisture-wicking fabrics. Starting with just $16,000 and 7 prototype shirts he distributed to teammates, Kevin discovered his concept appealed beyond football players to athletes across sports. Working from his grandmother's Georgetown row house, he grew from $17,000 in first-year revenue to $100,000 the next year, reaching $5 million within 5 years and eventually $1 billion. His journey wasn't without struggles. He once gambled his last $3,400 at Atlantic City in desperation to cover $6,000 in checks, losing everything before miraculously receiving a $7,500 payment from Georgia Tech. Kevin's success stems from his unwavering commitment to his core concept, making the world's greatest performance t-shirts. Kevin credits Under Armour's explosive growth to unwavering focus on their core concept. We became famous for making the world's greatest t-shirt for when it's warm outside. This singular focus established their reputation before expanding to cold weather gear. The company has now posted 20 consecutive quarters with at least 20% growth, one of only 2 S&P 500 companies with such performance. He dismisses naysayers who claimed he needed more money or industry connections. Everybody knows somebody, he insists, leveraging his network of athletes for product testing and feedback. Kevin pushes his team to prepare for downturns, reminding them that being the tallest short guy in the room can still be a pretty good thing. The world is changing rapidly, and entrepreneurs need to get on board or risk being left behind. The power of broke means working harder, faster, smarter, and more efficiently. The retail landscape has transformed dramatically since FUBU's early days, when national distribution required working through major retailers and sacrificing authenticity and profit margins. Today, anyone can create a billion-dollar business from their basement through online platforms. The only real commodity needed to start a business now isn't capital, but creativity. A massive shift where entrepreneurs no longer need silver spoons, important contacts, or expensive advertising. While this makes the marketplace more competitive, it pushes entrepreneurs to excel and differentiate themselves. Crowdfunding platforms like Kickstarter and Indiegogo have revolutionized how entrepreneurs fund projects, generating over $5 billion for U.S.-based ventures in 2013 alone. These platforms do more than just raise money. They help generate interest in products still in development through pitch videos and creative incentives. The real power is in pre-selling items while bypassing conventional retail models, creating not just customers, but invested fans with a rooting interest in your success. Setting positive goals transforms lives. Too often, we let others set negative goals for us, believing we can't succeed. Damon began setting positive goals at 14 after reading Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, despite struggling with undiagnosed dyslexia. His approach combines visualization with writing down goals, typically 7 goals he reviews 5 nights weekly before sleep and first thing each morning. He assigns expiration dates and specifies what he wants, by when, how he'll achieve it, and what he'll sacrifice. The power of broke isn't something you outgrow or out-earn. It becomes part of your DNA. Damon admits he's occasionally slipped from this mindset, particularly during his first year on Shark Tank when he found himself throwing money at problems due to new demands on his time. By season 2, he had rediscovered his resourcefulness, slashing legal bills from $200,000 to $30,000 by switching to a venture capital firm with proper systems and building a dedicated team with licensing, marketing, and business affairs experts. The lesson? Sometimes it takes being broke again to rediscover your resourcefulness. The power of broke can transform empty pockets, tight budgets, and hunger for success into your greatest competitive advantage.